Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Head Coach Kevin Stefanski on at the morning show, and as well with you guys, your last segment. Listen, all I heard over and over again, everybody tell me, why do you want Shador? Deion's going to be involved. Don't you know Deion's going to be coaching here? Listen, he's going to be in there. He's going to be trying to get his head. He's going to have a say on every single little thing that happens. Doesn't really feel like he had a say on much that has happened here so far. If Kevin's not sitting there talking to Deion, I think you're in relatively good territory. And I think this, where I've been saying, like, sure, is Deion going to talk publicly about the team and talk publicly about Shador Sanders? Guys, that's a guarantee. It wouldn't matter if Shador Sanders was, you know, a Matt Rule's son. And they're going to go and ask Matt Rule about his kid, and he's going to talk about him. Now, Deion, a little bit more outspoken. He might talk about Shador himself without even being prompted. But people are going to ask him about it. And there's going to be plenty of times this season where I'm sure Deion says something that you're like, ah, I don't know that I love that. But it's the end of the day. I just don't understand why the reaction with the way that Deion was created this big fuss with everybody around. Because he's a pro's pro. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a professional player who knows his son has to be a professional player. And it's the entire thing that it was the Ball situation with LeVar Ball and his three kids, one becoming a rapper and two of them becoming actual NBA players and pretty good ones. But it's the entire thing of, yeah, the dad's going to be involved in the early process. He's going to make sure people know who his kids are, and he's going to go out there and talk about them and create a stir. And obviously, LeVar Ball was not Deion Sanders, but he created enough of a buzz to find his way onto the four-letter network and about any network that would let him talk. And he was on every major, radio shows, television, podcasts. He was doing it all. And the kids make the league, and dad fades into the background and lets his son perform for themselves and be NBA players. It was always going to be more like that than less. Deion was always going to let his kid at least partially have his own thing. Now, if you want to say, I don't want Deion to be my coach in 2026, and I think there's a fear of that happening, I don't think there is, but there's an avenue for it to possibly occur. I'm not saying that Deion won't try to get in and be like, why don't I coach my son at the NFL level? There was buzz about him potentially being in consideration for the Cowboys job this year. I could see something like that happening. Sure. But that's an offseason of next year problem. It requires Kevin Stefanski to get fired, which I just don't see happening by handing him the team that's here this year and then going, you guys performed bad? You mean with the team that everyone's projecting to be the worst team in the NFL, even lower win total than the New Orleans Saints? Yeah. Well, you didn't get enough wins, so you're fired. Like, there'd be no real point to that. You would have just switched everything out and changed it now. But I do. I find it very funny the way that everybody overreacted and thought that Deion was going to be involved from day one. And now it's very clear and very evident that Deion's not going to be here. And some of those worries have been calmed. And that's what I'm asking you at 216-474-0092. Did Kevin calm any of your nerves on the entire Deion Sanders situation? And again, he 100%, if I had any nerves left, the fact that he's not in conversation at all, I think that it plays into that part. It would make sense. I think there's an avenue, by the way, where even if Kevin says yes, it's not a bad thing. How bad of a thing can it be that Deion Sanders, a coach for a college team who was your college quarterback or the college coach for your quarterback that you just drafted in the NFL draft in the fifth round, to at least have a conversation with your head coach? I would think that's not a terrible situation. There's 100% worse things that have happened. I mean, we praise and we talk about Bill O'Brien and the way that he handled Deshaun and made it work while he was in Houston by going through and making Deshaun's time in Houston similar, that offense work more like the Clemson offense did. Well, how did that happen? Well, because Bill O'Brien was in constant contact with Clemson coaches top to bottom, and we're like, okay, let's see if we can get something to work here. Let's have a conversation about what works with Deshaun, what didn't, and let's try to emulate some of that. That same thing can happen with Shador. Now, I think those conversations would heat up a lot more if Shador was actually, you know, thrusted into a starting role and had a little bit more of a say in the things that he was doing and the way that this team was going to operate. But either way, as long as Deion's not in there complaining about playing time and training camp reps and everything else, I would say that we hit a pretty good spot. I think that we're going to be just fine. Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders. There's going to be a media buzz. People are going to be around. But ultimately, Deion's still remaining quiet as of now. There's plenty of room for that to change. But the idea that he was going to be manipulating and controlling the Browns, yeah, you can throw that one out the window. No say so far. I don't think that's that big of a deal. Now, I think it's slightly of a different situation as we look towards, you know, what does that mean for Shador and whether or not he's going to be successful. Like, I don't think that Deion really plays any part into that. I don't think that there's this any massive thing that Deion could do that really plays into the excess or the failure of Shador Sanders in the way that he operates with the Browns. Unless he's calling up every single day and wanting to have a three-hour conversation with Kevin Stefanski to tell him how much of a moron he is for not playing Shador Sanders more. It all comes down to playing on the field. And Kevin has, and it will repeatedly go on and say the same thing that we've been talking about. Coaches view it in a certain light that if you go through and it's fifth round, third round, doesn't matter. They want the best guy on the field. The players want the best guy on the field. At some point, that could very well be Shador Sanders. And if he goes and he earns that right, there's just not going to be much to complain about. I don't think that people give Deion enough credit and instead rush to the things that could possibly go wrong for having the experience and knowing how the NFL operates. Nobody was in there chiming in for Deion, and he got by just fine. The name that we all know. He's a reason why Colorado is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Successful as a program as it is, because again, it's Deion Sanders. But nobody was in his corner chiming on. He's taught Shador everything that he can know, and now it all comes down to play it out on the field. Now, I liked the way that Kevin Stefanski talked about Shador at the beginning of that, but that's just because I'm a Shador fan. But I've still yet to this point, not that Kevin was going to go on local sports talk radio and bash the quarterback that they just drafted. That was not in the cards and was never going to be in the cards today. But he spoke of him very highly, spoke to his work ethic, and across several media outlets today talked about how Shador is a first-in kind of guy, and in there constantly working, and he's working hard. So I can circle back to a conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, right? When we were talking about the workout videos and the going up and meeting with the local Cleveland high school and talking to the kids, or the local Cleveland school, excuse me, and talking to the kids. It's like, all right, well, is there a chance that that's just for stunt and that's all for show? Well, if he's showing up to the building and showing up to the facility and your head coach is looking at him and going, that guy's working, he's actually putting in work to get better, I would think that rules some of that for show stuff out. I think it's a reality that if we listen to Colorado beat reporters, people who cover the game, and people who are on the sideline talking to Shador and looking at Shador, that he is just a hard worker. I know when he carries the attitude and a lot of the things that come with him, and just, again, the media and the cockiness and everything else, it immediately makes you want to jump to this idea that this guy's all talk, right? You've seen it before. Johnny Manziel comes in there and he's pretty much all talk. I mean, at times, and I'm not going to speak to Baker's work ethic because I don't think Baker's work ethic was bad, but there were times where Baker came through and was incredibly cocky and then would also go into the next game and lay a stinker. And he came with an attitude to him. I just think if that's the type of guy that you have and he's in there and he's putting in the effort and he's a dedicated guy with good work ethic, a lot of the fears that surrounded Shador when you're getting ready to draft him, whether that was the humbling of being a fifth round pick or just the guy he was from the very beginning, well, a lot of that to me is gone now. I have no fears about Deion. I have no fears about the type of player and the type of teammate that Shador is going to be. It all just comes down to what do you do on the field and how do you make the most of your opportunity. And I think Shador has put himself in a pretty good spot right now to at least compete. We'll let it play out. It could be Dylan Gabriel. It could be him. They could turn to the two veterans. We couldn't see a single rookie play. But I think we've sifted through a lot of the pre-draft worry already. And this thing has gotten much more down to, let's just see what he looks like on the field. 216-474-0092. We're going to listen to more of Kevin Stefanski on with Ken and Anthony early on today. Coming up here in 5 minutes. And of course, in less than an hour's time, coming up at 9:20 today, we'll get to Get a Grip. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on the Fan. Well, very nice of Curtis to bring along a jersey for Coach. Also brought through the hot dogs. That hot dog's still sitting out there? Oh, man, we still got one left. Nick Wilson ate a 9.5-hour-old hot dog. We will not be doing that. But I did think Kevin's comments on a few of these things were interesting, and specifically, I don't know, but the tush-push conversation. I get where Kevin's coming from because the QB sneak's ultimately very effective and the Eagles really have been the only team to perfect the tush push, and you're basically just banning the Eagles. I don't really like the play because I think it takes a lot of the fun out, but I get it. I understand. If you want to be the team to keep it in, sure. Makes sense. And yeah, you're affinity with the Eagles. You're not going to vote against them. I mean, you're like Andrew Berry and half the Browns front office is practically former Eagles representatives there. So hey, you're not going to go out and actually go against it. I still wonder, though. I still look at it. I'm like, anything else you do, though? Any other QB sneak? The Browns just don't seem very poised to get it done. They don't seem like they have a very good quarterback room to actually properly run it. So I'm not sure I would be sitting there being like, yeah, let's just empower the Eagles. Just make them better, right? They need the help. Like they just took down Patrick Mahomes in dominating fashion in a Super Bowl. But you're not running it with Dylan Gabriel, not running it with Shador. Joe Flacco might crumble into a pile of dust, no offense, Joe, if he ends up running the tush push. So it would be down to Kenny Pickett. Well, his hands just wouldn't be big enough to hold on to the football, as we said yesterday. So that's just not going to cut it. I don't know what else you do. I don't know what else you have to do. But yeah, tush push conversation. Again, it makes sense. Why upset the Eagles? Things are relatively good there if you got to make a trade. But at the same time, like, I mean, how mad are they going to be? Eagles owner comparing getting the tush push to even be on the vote to be banned is something that I'm not going to bring up on the air, because it's a dirty, dirty man thinking about those things. Weird, weird conversations. But I want to talk a little bit more with you guys about what Kevin had to say, specifically the maybe leaving out of one prime quarterback and a high affinity for Kenny Pickett. That's coming up here at 9 o'clock on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Well, a real interesting coming out of head coach Kevin Stefanski there as you listen to Overtime with Jake Volnick here on The Fan. Before we break down what four quarterbacks might mean, I want to remind you that the Browns remain one of the biggest stories in the NFL with the quarterback competition ahead. Don't miss Darryl Ryder and Andy Baskin's latest edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where they discuss all the latest talk around the expectations for the upcoming season. Subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland now at 923thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Now, Kevin goes through and says, listen, we got a four-quarterback competition. Now, I'm a little bit torn between giving Kevin the benefit of the doubt and actually reading too far into this one, because realistically, I think Kevin's mind's probably in the here and now. And he's going every single day on the field that we're going to be out at practice. You know how many guys are going to be out there throwing? Four. There's going to be four guys on the field that are throwing. And it's going to be Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and your two rookies. Well, okay. You got those four guys. So Kevin there is making a correct statement. But the other side of it is that you very clearly just left out and omitted the fact that your quarterback room technically has five guys in it. Because Deshaun Watson's still in that conversation. Like it or not, still in that conversation. And Kevin goes around town, talks to some other people for the day. It's Kevin Stefanski Day in Cleveland, as it was deemed by Afternoon Drive. He's talking to a bunch of other places, and every single time that question came up, Kevin goes, five quarterbacks in the room. The five. He definitely walked out of here, and they were like, you cannot say we have four quarterbacks in that room. You have to at least mention the guy. You have to bring him up. He's there. Because then everybody on social media, and rightfully so, reacting, going, even Kevin saying four quarterbacks? All of us are just forgetting that Deshaun exists. And it should be a moment of rejoice. Browns fans should be running in circles here, Kevin going, yeah, I mean, the four guys in the room. And yeah, rightfully so. Like, Deshaun's not a part of that equation. And Deshaun's not going to, by the very earliest, would be activated in October. Unless he's on some ridiculous speed recovery that is just inhumane and we have no idea how he ever got there. Not going to be the case. Earliest he would come back is October. And at that point, you can look at either situation and say, all right, what is the best scenario for both of these teams, or this team and this player, both sides? Well, realistically, if you're Deshaun, do you really want to come back and play for the Cleveland Browns? You got booed out of the stadium after tearing your Achilles. And I don't think it's done any favors for you to take the field under Kevin Stefanski in this regime right now. It's done you no favors. He's looked worse and worse, it feels like, almost every time he's gone out there. So if I'm Deshaun, I don't want to suit up. And if I'm Kevin Stefanski in the Browns, well, quite frankly, I don't want you to suit up. It's been bad enough. We lived through it. And by drafting two quarterbacks, I've indicated I want to move on. I want to go and find a different solution at quarterback. It's just the latest thing in the line of a long, long period with Deshaun as a Cleveland Brown. Yes, I think that you have to just accept it for what it is. Now, the only verbal confirmation prior to Kevin today is a moving on from Deshaun Watson was a very clear Jimmy Haslam calling it a swing and a miss. But obviously the Browns acted in a way that they think Deshaun's going to be gone. They moved on. And like I said, taking the two quarterbacks, you put two veteran quarterbacks in that room, one that you traded for, one that you signed. You clearly had no plans of leaving a ton of space open for Deshaun to get back and be like, and you're here again. Go ahead and take the starting role. Because even then you have four quarterbacks. If that was the case, I imagine you'd probably put three in there, and then you'd probably roll with three until Deshaun's healthy and figure out which one you're cutting. Even if that is a Joe Flacco-type player. But no, you went ahead and you got four. Because you're trying to find an answer. You're trying to find a solution. I mean, we're going to get into the way that Kevin talked about Kenny Pickett, and I think it's very clear the direction that they're moving. But before we do, 216-474-0092. Do you think the omission of Deshaun Watson may be a little bit intentional? Bobby's in Brunswick. What's going on, Bobby?
Yeah, that dude's never seen the field again. That's just completely out of my mind. It is what it is, and we're moving on.
I think a lot of people like you too, Bobby. I think a lot of people think that way.
Yeah, like, we messed up. Okay, what are we going to do? Just keep crying out over it, or are we going to try and get better? I mean, that's all you can do.
Right.
My biggest concern with these, you know, four QB thing is, you know, we have four new quarterbacks to the team. Not any one of our receivers have received a pass from them yet. And these quarterbacks haven't thrown to these receivers either. And, you know, that's what comes down to timing and rhythm, knowing where the guys are going to be. You know, I think our offense is going to be challenged this year. And I just, layering that on top of it, I think only makes things worse. I would like to see kind of somebody getting a lot of work, you know, with the ones, you know, pretty frequently, just to really put us in the best position to win games, you know, kind of out of the gate. You know, this carousel or whatever we're going to do here. I mean, I have no doubt all four play and start sometime this year. But, you know, we don't have one quarterback. We have four quarterbacks. And I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, and obviously, and Bobby, I appreciate the call. And we all know the old saying of, hey, if you got four, do you really have one? But it's usually like two. You usually don't have to go as high as four. But it fits the same. If you got four quarterbacks, you have none. And it's definitely a concern. I mean, to pick holes. Cedric Tillman's caught a pass from Joe Flacco, and I think he's caught like two passes from Joe Flacco. But same thing nonetheless. You have a lot of guys sitting in the room and a lot of guys that got to learn the offense and develop a connection. And I think is why a lot of people look around and look at this team and think, you're probably not on a long path of success if that's what you're rolling with. How are you expected to go through and have a successful season if you're going to be likely trying out multiple quarterbacks within the year and none of them have thrown a pass to any of these guys? And the only time they're going to get to do it is in practice. And then eventually, you know, when they're on the field, they'll get real in-game reps with those guys. But somebody's going to be taking the first team reps. That guy's going to get the most time to develop the connection. And at some point, the next guy's probably coming to take over. And then there's a different conversation of, well, he hasn't had much time to throw to those guys, and you probably need a grace period there as well. It's a long, winding road that doesn't look so pretty, and I'm sure we'll talk about it coming up here at 9:40 when Matt Verderam of SI Now joins us. But in addition to Deshaun not playing, your four-quarterback problem, Kevin Stefanski did talk about Kenny Pickett today, in which I thought he spoke, I mean, much more highly than anybody else around Cleveland's talking about him.
Kenny's an interesting young player, and I say young. He played 2 years with the Steelers, had 1 year with Philly. They win the Super Bowl, so he's just in year four, a very athletic player, a guy who's had success, has won football games. There's a lot to like about Kenny, and he's young in his career. We feel like he has room to grow.
And listen, it's May, so I'm not jumping to conclusions, but I typically don't see a coach go and wax poetically about a quarterback that he's then being like, well, if they trade him off my roster, no skin off my back. The speed at which they went and got Kenny Pickett was, I mean, truly mesmerizing. They acted like the entire market was coming crashing in and everybody was going to try to get their hands in on Kenny Pickett, when I'm pretty sure they're about the only team that probably inquired. maybe like there's two, three teams there. But they got out ahead of that thing immediately as the offseason took place. I mean, I remember making the quarterback big board and being like, oh, we're circling Kenny Pickett. I don't have anybody else really filled out on this list. Nobody else is really signed. A couple of guys that day, but the Browns made the trade for Kenny Pickett. Okay. Like, clearly there's a like for that guy, and I think that you probably don't make that move and make it with the haste that you did unless you get the A-OK from your quarter or your coach to go and get that quarterback. I don't think you're acting in that type of speed and willing to give up that much because, listen, I can say fifth-round pick isn't all that much. It's not cheap either for a backup quarterback. In terms of draft capital, giving away a fifth-rounder just so you can go and get Kenny Pickett, who's already failed as a starter in one place, it's pretty solid level of capital to have to give up. But if you go out and you get him, I imagine that Kevin gave the okay and probably, you know, was one of the main people behind, go get me somebody like Kenny Pickett. If not, if Kevin just wanted to run the entire thing back with Joe Flacco, and that was his only thought, he would have just said, go put Joe on a contract. It'll still be cheap, or let's wait and put Joe on a contract and it'll be cheap and we'll move from there. There'd have been no thought to go acquire Kenny. That's a conversation that happens top to bottom. And I think the way that he talks about him, the way that he says he was in contact with the Pitt coaches, and the fact that he's a winner, the way that they describe him. Well, he did win football games. He also won football games at the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I don't hear a coach talk about a guy like that that's probably on the verge of getting traded. You say nice things about that guy. You don't go and trash him into the, you know, or throw him to the trash. But you don't have to talk about that guy's a winner. He's a really interesting football player, a young football player that has a lot of game left. Like, you don't have to say nice things and don't have to talk about him the way that you did when the Browns acquired him in the first place. There are certain signs in the way that people communicate about players that I think you can tell when guys are excited about somebody and when they're not excited about somebody. The Browns initially talking about Shedeur Sanders, I thought, I'm not all that excited. Kevin today, different story. I thought he sounded pretty excited about Shedeur. But it's a guy that sounds excited about Kenny Pickett. And as much as I love the idea in the conversation where we're talking to Ross Jackson, he's like, hey, might just happen. You know, if they need that veteran presence, we might go and actually toss something in terms of draft capital to go get Kenny Pickett. As much as I love that conversation, there's also a really good chance that Kenny Pickett ends up being your week one starter. It's not just a foregone conclusion that he's gone. Ross says it's possible. I'm telling you, yes, it is. But don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't expect it to happen. Because if Kevin likes him that much, and Andrew Berry, it will pretty much like, I feel like, just about anything that the Eagles do or say, I think there is a real liking towards a quarterback like Pickett and a guy that can run the offense. If they clearly fell in love with a guy like Dillon Gabriel, guys, there's nothing telling me that they can't fall in love with a quarterback like Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, as much slack as we give Dillon Gabriel, we give Kenny Pickett none of that slack. And let me tell you, Kenny Pickett, probably a better quarterback than Dillon Gabriel out of the gate. Probably a better quarterback than QB9 out of this class. At least that's where I had him and ESPN had him. But I would think that Kenny Pickett probably rise above that. Was good enough for first-round talent, not viewed across the board as fifth-round talent, and then went in the third. I think they like Kenny, and I would be surprised if we see Kenny move without getting an upgrading capital back and one of these rookies exploding out of the scene and looking good. 216-474-0092. Did anything Kevin say there about Kenny Pickett change your mind on whether or not the Browns would actually be willing to move them as well? Coming up here in 5 minutes, we'll get to Get a Grip. Matt Verder, MSI Now, coming your way at 9:40. A lot to get to on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.